The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, the key to sanctification is to understand our position in justification. All right, take a deep breath. The modus operandi to operate like Jesus practically is by abiding in the truth and being aware that we owe sin nothing, including giving in to its dangerous allurements. Next, the lack of courage can taint our vision and make us follow the deception of fear. We need to be aware that we create our own dark glasses when we mix fear into our life pictures. And dark glasses project wrong imaginations. Important. And finally, Pastor Ray provides a beautiful perspective on dirt and clay. After all, Adam was created from dirt, and you and I were made from Adam. So we're all dirt plus the breath of God. And that makes us marvelously and wonderfully made.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk, where my tongue twisting was really good at the very beginning of our introduction. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey there. We're asking you, what do you think?
Isn't that bizarre? I said, hey, to me three times. I need therapy. That's it. Two words for you, Dave. What? Therapy. Okay.
You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, guess what? Terrific T answers the phone. And let me tell you what that's like. That's like getting a free trip to Disney World, all expenses paid. Yeah. Notice I did not say Disneyland. I've been there many times, been to Disney World too. Let me just say this. You want to go to Florida, not California. Just trust me on that one. All right, so here's the bottom line. It can be for prayer requests that you reach out. It can be for praise reports. It can be some of the things the Lord's working in your life. It can be answers to trivia. It can be something you might want to just comment on. We're just asking people to encourage one another, to strengthen one another as we see the day approaching. Here, by the way, is the first trivia question of this hour. It's a pretty classic one. Who said this in the Bible? Here's your hint. It's in the New Testament. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Ooh. Well, yeah, I probably should go like this, and nobody take offense to this, but sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. More like that, maybe. Okay? All right. Call 972-445-0770 if you think you know the answer. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Please do not forget our website where this is a location for you to be able to give. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David@HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So don't forget to check that out. We always have cool stuff, I think, that's there. Who said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Who said that in the Bible? It's in the New Testament. 972-445-0770 is the phone number to call. 214-210-8483. I will tell you it's in one of the Gospels. That might help some people. Okay? All right. We're getting ready to do our first teach. Is there anything else that I'm missing? I think we covered everything, right? Boy, for somebody who had a rough night, I'm having fun. Just put me behind a microphone. Here we go. All right. I want to talk to you about this passage in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Here's what it says. Very, very important word for all of us, myself included. In fact, me especially, I would say. Numbers 33, verse 55. But if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, those you allow to remain will become thorns in your eyes and in your sides. And they will harass you in the land where you live. This is not one of those texts where you sit there and write this up on your wall so that you wake up every day and you read it. Like, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. It's not one of those passages. All things work together for good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nay, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? This is not one of those. Okay. Here's what it says. If you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, those you allow to remain will become thorns in your eyes and in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live. Okay? So when I read a passage like this, I think in my very limited brain, I think the Israelites were given instructions to be very careful not to allow people in the land. The warning was don't allow that because they're going to become such a thorn for you in your eyes. I can't even think about thorns in the eyes. It's just like, oh, or in your sides, right? And they will harass you. And what I liken this unto, ready? How I connect this is for me, I understand the actual primary application for the children of Israel to clean out the land, but now I'm looking at for my application, my personal application, and I think this has a lot of similarity to me if I don't drive out sin from my life, that sin will become a thorn in my life. It will poke me in the eye and pinch me on the side, and it will harass me. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm not trying to get you to, what's the word I'm looking for here? I am not seeking to put a legalism on you. Okay, not talking about that. I'm not talking about things that you go through on a regular basis and you bring before the Lord and you're like, hey, I'm really having a hard time in this area. I really need your help. I can really, you know, I'm really critical of people. I'm cynical or I'm this. I have no forgiveness in me or any of those things. And you come before the Lord and you're genuinely seeking his help. I'm actually not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that we allow in our lives that become snares to us. They become things that drain us. They become things that take away. And I'll give you an example, and it's a bad example, and I confess that, but I'm trying to give you some illustration. When Noelle and I first got to Texas about 3.5 years ago, we weren't doing the radio ministry yet, so I'm in between the two ministries. You know, we got our new cable system with, I think it's Suddenlink or whoever, and then we got all the pay stations or whatever, and you know, all the stuff, and we were watching a lot of the crime shows. Not just some of them, a lot of them. Like every night there was one or two of them. And we talked about it one time, and it's like, you ever notice that when you watch some of those shows, it's dark. There's a dark thing there. It's like, because it's always about murder, and you know, it's not that mysteries aren't fun. I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying that adventures aren't fun. Don't get all legalistic on me. But we were having an excess in our diet. So we decided we're going to limit the diet. And we noticed a considerable lightening in our own lives. And we thought, you know, that's something that we allowed, that we supported, that we paid for, that was creating its own problems. And we didn't even see the spiritual connection. You might think, oh, that's highly legalistic. Well, maybe it is for you. For us, it wasn't legalistic. We just decided we're just going to watch less of those. So now, consequently, 3.5 years later, we watch 95% more comedies than anything else. Why? Well, because they're funny. That's why. Because they make you laugh. Because it doesn't remind you how depressing things are in all the other places. And I think that's a good thing. And I'm just using that as the smallest illustration. For you or for other people, it can be anything. It can be, and I know this for a fact because I have a relative that does this, it can be going to the news websites every 3 hours to see what the latest political update is so that your brain can be swelled and swilled in all the stuff that's going around you, not recognizing that all they want is for you to keep going to their website no matter what. They're not looking out for your best interests. The Lord looks out for your best interests. Spend more time with Him than promoting the swill and the swirl around you. That's a great example for some of you out there. Okay? All right. All right. The answer to the trivia question, I remembered. The answer to the trivia question, who said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet"? Very perceptive. The Samaritan woman at the well was the one who said, "I perceive you are a prophet." I was like, very good. This is very good. All right, we're going to come back. I've got another application, a little more theological, a lot more fun. When we come back, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes Him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, are you ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear. And that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're kind of, we're mashugi from time to time.
Not God. He's totally awesome.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I will tell on one of our listeners who's texted me in. I'm not going to say who it is, Eric, but Eric let me know that my squeaky voice of the woman at the well did not help me. He said it sounded like Rocky the Rocky the Squirrel. All right, people. All right. I'm not going to start working on impressions. That will not help anybody. Trust me. At least, you know, nothing up my sleeve. Okay, see, that's Bullwinkle. See, Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle. Okay. Rocky the Squirrel. I don't want to hear about that's politically correct. I don't want to hear it. Okay. All right, somebody calling in? Okay, here I go. I'm getting ready. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Let me turn down my radio.
All right, turn that down, Troy.
Say, David?
Yes, sir.
I want to commend you on what you said about that preacher on that show the other night. Somebody needs to speak up for these people over here. All these people, they just act like their eyes is closed. They're blind about stuff, you know. And I want to thank you for correcting that preacher on that show other night.
Well, I appreciate it.
Hannity show.
Yeah. That's an older
clip.
Too
many people on radio or TV or nothing else that correct anybody. You're a good man. Well, I'll stand up for you anytime you want to.
Well, I appreciate that. That clip's a little bit old, but boy, I remember that moment like it was yesterday, and it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just like, I just lose it in some of those things. So I appreciate that. Troy, it's a very nice comment, and thank you for calling in and sharing that.
I sure appreciate you standing up, man, because these people won't stand up for nothing these days. They just letting everything go and hoping for the best, I guess.
Yeah. Well.
I thank you a lot, man. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you, brother. God bless. Yep. All right. Good job. All right. Here's our next trivia question. Thank you, Troy. Very nice. They're getting compliments. Very nice. It's always encouraging to me. I know and don't tell me, that's the little egocentric. Yes, but it's nice to hear every once in a while you're appreciated. So, yeah. Okay. See, you got to just be honest about it. Who said this? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you now, because this is a tougher one, that this is in the Gospel of John chapter 1. That's all I'm going to say. Gospel of John chapter 1, so you have somewhere to look. Okay, who said this? We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Who said that? Who said this? In John chapter 1, somebody specific said that. Not a ton of lines in the Gospels for this guy, but he's got some classics. Who said, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's a toughie. I'm just going to say that's not even an easy thing to answer. If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770 or you can text in 214-210-8483, as well as, you know, you can email David at hemustincrease.org. I'm trying to find my joke page. Here it is. Okay. All right. So this is going to be a little bit more on T. Unfortunately for you, I have to do it because I can't do it any other way. So you have to just forgive me. But I'm going to read a couple of classic lines, and you can either you can beep them if you want, but I'm really looking for what you think is the one or the two best. That's kind of what I'm looking for, your opinion as to which of these are best.
All right.
These are just like classic Christian lines, okay? Like something that you might see on a sign on a church, okay? Might help you, okay? All right, here we go. Under the same management for over 2,000 years. Okay, not bad. Okay, the bar has been set high. Soul food served here. Did I say soul food? Soul. Tithe if you love Jesus, anyone can honk. this is a good one. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
Okay. Beat the Christmas rush. Come to church this Sunday. I like this one, I'll tell you right now. Don't wait for the hearse to take you to church. Don't give up. Moses was once a basket case. Because he was in a basket. See, all right. Only a pastor would understand this, how funny this is. Come early to church to get a good seat in the back. Because you don't want to sit up front. That's so mean. Here's my favorite. What's the best vitamin for a Christian? B1. B1. Be a Christian. Okay, that's a good one. And then finally, worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. There you go. All right. Good job. Did you have any of them that you liked the most?
I really like the vitamin one.
That's a great one, isn't it? Right? What's the best vitamin for a Christian? B1. Like, ooh, that's good. I love stuff like that. All right. We got people answering. And the question was, I'm not doing this in a Bullwinkle voice. I can't. All right. Remember, if you're going to call, you got to call the 972-445-0770. Who said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, in the Gospel of John chapter 1. If you're going to call in, call 972-445-0770. Can't take a call on my phone. Okay, ready? Going to the next thing. Okay, wave me down if somebody calls in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we do have somebody calling in. I'm gonna talk about this in detail, but I want you to catch that we've been told to lay aside the encumbrance and the sin that's just entangling us. So we're going to talk about that in a split second. We ready for someone to answer? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Dan.
Hey, how are you, brother? It's been a long time. Glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm in hiding.
All right, my friend. So I can't do it in a good enough voice because I don't really know what this person sounded like. So I'm just going to give it to you, and you tell me who it is. Who said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Who said that?
It was Philip to Nathaniel.
That is correct, sir! Yes, it was Philip. He doesn't have a lot of lines, but he's got a couple of really good ones, and that's one of them. Excellent job. It's so wonderful to hear from you.
Yeah, I was just watching The Chosen, and if you haven't seen that yet, it's amazing.
Okay, now you're the second person to tell me that. Eric said that, too, that it's absolutely excellent. So for some people to watch The Chosen. So people, from a recommendation point of view, you guys should watch The Chosen. Everybody's saying it's really good, right?
Yeah, it fleshes out all those characters, you know.
Awesome. That is excellent. All right, brother, thank you for calling in. Great job, and great to hear your voice, my brother.
Yes, sir. Bless you.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Excellent. Okay, so he's the second person to say The Chosen is really good. So Noah and I have got, we're going to get that. See? There's many things to watch. All right. I want to talk about this laying aside. I don't want you guys to, I teach about sin. I teach about sin because we need to be talking about it because Jesus taught about it. So that's why you do it. Right? And here in Hebrews 12:1, it says, we have a great cloud of witness. It's referring to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame of faith that everybody knows pretty well. We have this great cloud of witness surrounding us. Therefore, let's lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Now, it's really, a lot of people know that as the besetting sin. It's really easy to figure out what your besetting sin is. What's the one sin that you never tell anybody about that you know about that you have to or come before the Lord on a pretty regular basis to work through it, whatever that sin is, that's your besetting sin. I don't need to know it. You know it. God knows it. Work it out. But what's important is understanding how you can lay it aside. And this is the part, I think, that gets undertaught. In Romans 6, 11 through 14, it says this. Now, listen very closely. This is big theology. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. Here is the most important thing about remembering you and I dealing with sin. That struggle that you have does not legally own you. That struggle is a trespasser. A trespasser goes on the property, stays below the radar, doesn't say much, hangs around until it has a nice strong footing and where they're at, right? Kind of like that homesteading approach. And the idea behind that is, it's territory that's yours that the trespasser is on. That's what sin does. It trespasses. You have the authority and the right to remove it. Too many people are afraid to go through that process. Very hard to let go of something you've had a long time in your life. But that's where you do things in partnership with God. Don't try and be fake holy. Don't try and, don't come before the Lord. Be honest. Tell him you need help getting through it. He's already made this a judicial win for you. Now it needs to become a practical win for you. You do that through your partnership with God, through faith in Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And you are absolutely promised that God will help you, period. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor, and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time. And in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God, and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith, and the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless, because you have to be engaged with God. And no, he's going to speak. People are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will, and if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, next trivia question. Not necessarily harder, but you will have to think about who said this, because that's the whole premise of the show on the trivia questions. Who said this? And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and then a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Who said that in the Old Testament? And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the whole earth. Who said that? Who was the person who said that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Eric striking immediately. Good job, Eric. Here we go on history. Here's history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, Joy and Cordy coming in right behind. All right, so here's a couple history things. First of all, it's Firefighters Day. Anytime you see a firefighter, you should be appreciative. It's National Teacher Appreciation Day. Should be very appreciative of teachers. I love my teachers. I've always had great teachers. We've not always agreed, but, you know, I maybe had one bad teacher. Okay, I did have one. Okay, but
I had horrible professors in college. Not all of them, but just a little bit.
Oh, isn't that's so frustrating, because you're paying for it. You're going through the process, and it's like, look, I'm paying this. You can be nice about it, right? I mean, come on. Okay, that's my theory. I know people are like, well, that's not how it should be. Well, no, that is exactly how it should be. I'm paying for it. You better be nice about it. Today is National Orange Juice Day. I don't know why it's National Orange Juice Day, but it is. And then everybody knows May 4th is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Get it? May the 4th. Okay. Probably not as many Star Wars fans as I thought. Okay, there you go.
Okay, fun fact.
Fun fact.
Never watched Star Wars.
Are you people hearing this? Never? Do you have a DVD player? Or do you have any kind of player? I'll bring you the movie.
I mean, I do. It never
appealed to you?
It never
did. You like Star Trek at all?
No, I didn't like
that. So you don't like the sci-fi stuff? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm not big on sci-fi.
You know, it's a good thing I just think you're fantastic. Otherwise. All right, well, it is Star Wars Day for those that are, you know, they run it like on TBS. They run every movie like 900 times in a row or something. It's like, you know, I've already seen them. Now, see, you guys, you think you've seen Star Wars. You haven't seen Star Wars until you've seen it in 3D. That's the best. Okay, but I'm a 3D fan. All right, somebody calling in to answer? Okay, here we go. Lean it over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Margie.
Hi, Margie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. You ready for this one? This is a classic. Who said that after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth? Who said that in the Old Testament?
Daniel.
That is correct! You are right! Exactamundo, excellent job. Did you know right away, or did you have to kind of think about it?
Well, reading the book of Daniel, so it came to my mind real quick.
Good for you. Thank you for calling in. That's such a blessing to have you do that.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Excellent job there, by the way. Very, very good. All right. The other thing I was going to tell you was, let's see. Well, that's not interesting. You got to go through this history stuff. Is like that interesting? I mean, construction begins by the United States on the Panama Canal. Yes. See, I don't find that. I know it's important. I'm just saying, I just don't find that overly fascinating. You can get mad at me if you want to. Christopher Columbus landed in Jamaica in 1494. Was it 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So then he went to Jamaica like 2 years later? Okay. I don't know. Some history, not my strength. Just leave it there and move on. Here we go. Have we done everything? Okay, good. Gotta go? Okay, good. Numbers chapter 13. Verses 30 through 32a. So in scripture, and I've mentioned this before, if you ever see, and some people do with the numbers, but you should do it with the letters. So if you'll have like Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, and if there's four parts in the scripture, it should be 30a, 30b, 30c, and 30d, so you know where it's going to. That's just for identification, Mark. There's nothing overly spiritual in that. It's just to help us organize. All right, there's what it says. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it." Now, I want you to stop and think. This is the situation with the spies, and they're talking about the scenario that they have to face. And listen to how Caleb views this. "We must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it." Verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him responded, 'We can't go up against the people because they're stronger than we are.'" Verse 32, "So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted." Now here's what I want you to see. And you guys know me, I think, pretty well by now, okay? All right, I'm a definite speak the Bible, believe the Bible guy. I'm not a name it and claim it guy, and I'm not a deny it and fry it guy, which are the other side of that aspect. I mean, it's walk not to the right or left, but you know, down the middle. And so I believe there's faith that the Lord brings for us that we should step in and urge and be diligent. And this is one of those situations where God makes a promise, tells the people what the promised land's going to be. Moses has them go spy it out. Caleb comes back and goes, "Man, this is some really cool real estate. This is some serious location, location, location. We have got to go get this." But the other people were afraid, and they were like, "Oh, the land is—it's just, you know, they're these big people, and they're stronger than we are." And so what they did was they totally focused on what they couldn't do, with no focus on what they could do with God. And their lack of courage—listen to what I'm going to say right here—their lack of courage tainted their assessment of the situation. That's the thing I want you to pull out of that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if your theology is a little different on something, that's fine. That's fine. Zero problem. You know that. But what happened is because they were afraid, they gave a negative report. And that tainted their evaluation. And I think we stain our assessments of things when we allow fear to be a big part of our brush that we're drawing our picture with. Okay? So if you're letting fear be a big, you know, you have the brush. Remember the guy who used to do those paintings on that one channel and you take nothing and make all these trees and all these birds and all this stuff is fantastic? Well, it's like we're taking that brush, but we're using it, and that brush that we're using is called fear. And then we're painting it. It's like the picture is like, ooh, because we tainted it. Now look at what it's saying. They gave a negative report to the Israelites. This is the rest of the portion, the verse after. "And the land they had scouted, the land we passed through to explore, is one that devours the inhabitants. And all the people we saw there are men of great size. Now they're, because of that fear, now they're getting into exaggeration. Okay? And that's what we do, is when you paint it with fear, you stain it with fear, the situation gets exaggerated. And all of a sudden, you're going from they're really big people to the land eats the people. It's like, well, how did you go from point A to point B? Who was the person who did that? So they added to this tainting even more fear and lack of faith, and then they created this immobilization. They created this complaining. This is exactly what I do. This is exactly what a lot of you do. Is you look at something and you taint it with fear. You give a negative report on it. It has a negative element to it. And then you let fear exaggerate it. It's the end of the universe. And it's like, well, the end of the universe comes about when God says it's the end of the universe and not 1 second before, period. And it's like, but we blow it up. And what's the result of tainting something and adding more fear and having no faith is we complain about it and we don't do anything about it. We immobilize. So they were like, no, no, we're not going to go up there. No, no, no. That's bad. big people bad. It's just like, wow. Now, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that gave a good report. The other 10 gave a bad report, and God was not happy because guess what they called bad? God's promised land. No, but it's not perfect, and it's going to eat us alive. It's like we've got to stop that, okay? If the Lord's brought something into your life or has a direction for you to go, he's not doing it because he's playing around. It's not like God's playing with Play-Doh, okay? He loves you. He knows what you can and can't do and what you can and can't go through, and he'll bring you through what he wants to bring you through, and he doesn't want your fear painting the brush or your exaggeration or my fear or my exaggeration painting the brush and having us complain. He wants us to believe that we can take possession of it because he's with us. That's good enough. It's all you need. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
No need to fear.
Order bear come
is here.
When
When Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our last trivia question. Plus, we have a Hebrew word. Ooh, a Hebrew word. And then we're going to do, it just follows all perfectly in sequence, this last little thing from Pastor Ray, which will follow up from the first three segments, if you follow along. All right, who said, ready, who said, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. Ooh, who said, what's a mouthful? At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. Who said that? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. Okay. Yeah, let's do website. That's a good idea. Let's do website. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. All right, so there's the website. We're going to do a Hebrew where we have somebody who's going to answer. Okay, here, I'm leaning over, leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Calvin.
Hi, Calvin. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good to hear your voice. I'm doing great, man. The show really picked me up, so that was good. I was feeling a little last night, but sometimes just fellowshipping with other Christians just can bring you right to the top. So that's a good thing. All right. You ready for this? Okay. Which person said, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me?
It would be Saul, who was about to become Paul.
That is correct, sir! He said it. Actually, he said it in Acts 26:13, reflecting on the story before he became Paul, but he, you know, as it happened, he was Saul. Good job, Calvin. Great work. I'm just assuming right off the top you knew it right away. Did you know it right away?
Yep.
Good job, bro. That's excellent. I really appreciate you calling in. Very, very good. All right.
Yeah, thank you for letting me come on.
You get it. Anytime you call in, you'll be fine. You're welcome to anytime, all right? Okay, God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, good job. All right, ready? We got our Hebrew word.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venisrecha.
All right, our Hebrew word is, the Hebrew word is actually beauty. Now wait, I'm going to pull this out of Ezekiel 28:11. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The word beauty is Yafi.
Yafi.
Yafi. It means beauty, splendor, brightness, fairness, perfect in physical form, flawless in symmetry. In symmetry. Symmetry. I can't even talk. Yafi.
Yaffe. Now, there's a lot of people. The Yaffe, by the way, is used 18 times in the Old Testament. A lot of people think that this Ezekiel 28:12 verse is also connected to the Isaiah 14 verse and may have a reference to Satan. It's not just early commentators, but early church commentators also believe that. And that's something you can say, yes, that's true, or no, that's not true. That's not a fellowship issue. But listen to what the word is. That's why I'm using the word Yaffe, Hebrew for beauty. Okay? Beauty. The world was made beautiful, but then sin entered it and some bad things happened, right? You got to think of it in those terms. Okay, we got that. We got the website. We got that. Calvin called in. Everybody called in. Had a good time. Good. All right, last one. This is an excellent, excellent devotion from Pastor Ray. In fact, I'm doing another one of his tomorrow. He's got some really, just some really, really great ones. Listen to this. It's called Transformed Dirt. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and he washed and he came back seeing. Ray writes, why clay? Why didn't Jesus just touch the man and pronounce him healed? Clay is the primary symbol Jesus used in this story of a blind man healed, a living sermon. In Genesis, we're told that God formed man from the dust of the earth. We are made of dirt. Wow. Jeremiah tells us that God is the potter and we are the clay, waiting to be molded and shaped by his loving hands. The Apostle Paul likens believers to clay vessels in which God stored the treasure of his presence. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're dirt. Clay is not a very valuable or powerful substance. It's common and fragile. It throughout Scripture symbolizes human weakness. When Jesus chose to smear clay on the blind man's eyes, he was demonstrating that something was hindering the man's vision, physically and spiritually. The clay of his humanity was a hindrance to him seeing spiritual truth and reality. Jesus was not singling out this man as being spiritually blind. In truth, this man is a symbol for all of us. Oh, I love that. We are in these earthly jars of clay. We need to be spiritually born again to know and see the truth and discover the great treasures of God's love housed in such simple, common vessels. We need to understand who we are, children of the Almighty, simple vessels of dirt. Listen to this. Simple vessels of dirt transformed into temples of the Holy Spirit of God, with eyes that can see and ears that can hear and hearts filled with his love. What's amazing is for us to grasp that God took dirt, us, and breathed his breath into it, his presence, his anointing, his Holy Spirit, and man became a living being. By ourselves, we're dirt. But when God enters into the picture, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, just if you can, for a second, just take that moment without being weird about it and just think of that difference between dirt and the temple of God. And God took you and me and all of us, and by pouring his Spirit into us, made us the temple of God from when we were just dirt. He takes us in our the most base and simplistic form. I'll tell you, when I read this, I thought, you know, I've not thought of this guy as a symbol for all of us, which was just great, right? And if you think about how God takes our lives and takes the weaknesses we have and some of the failures and some of the frustrations and some of the things we don't get, and then he pours his Spirit into us and just changes it, it's like being born again. Oh, wait, it is exactly being born again, isn't it? Here's what's so cool. Ready? God thinks you're so valuable that he paid the blood of Christ for you. Sure. I think we can do a comment. Let me reach over and see if I can do it real fast. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Just a thought on your dirt.
Okay.
If you stop and think about where God was when he formed man from the dirt.
In the garden.
Right. And what water is available in the garden, and don't you need water to form anything from dirt?
I would normally say yes, but of course then I'm not going to limit God. Well, knowing the Lord, he would be like, it's a cookie, watch, bam, you know.
but every form yes. of dirt that becomes clay
yep.
needs water.
Yep, yep.
And if you look at where the water came from, it wasn't just his spirit he put on us in us, but also his living water.
Oh, I love it. Excellent, excellent comment. Excellent job, my brother. Very,
Have
very good.
Have a wonderful
good.
Day.
You too. You too. Okay. I love Steve. He's great. Okay. So that's just a great one. Another great illustration. Man, oh, man. You guys are like on fire. You know? I mean, you know, all we got to do is pay the bills. We just keep doing this. All right, now here's a couple things to pray for, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Don't forget to pray for everybody in their situations. Don't forget to pray for Joanne and Cordelia in regards to their circumstance. While it goes up and down, you just need to keep praying that the Lord would help them prevail. Pray for Ace. Pray for my wife, because that's really important to me right now, as well as my daughter and my grandson. And then pray for the people that have called in, and pray for the audience. And you don't have to know every single detail about every person's life to pray. You can mention them before the Lord and just ask the Lord's blessing. Let's just take a second and pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you and praise you. You're so wonderful to us. We're amazed at the grace and the mercy you continually extend to us. We ask you to bless every person who's listening, encourage them, strengthen them, lift them up, and let your joy fill their hearts. We just thank you and praise you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I put...
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.